Okay, so I told you at the beginning, I'm going to give you what I think are the two greatest barriers to spiritual life. The first is that we're always looking for the quick or easy fix. Something that doesn't require too much but produces great results. And secondly, we think that spiritual growth is all about what we do, not about what God does. Let me give some examples of both. So the disciples are asking, will only a few people be saved? There are a lot of questions that are very similar to this. Anybody in education knows one. Will this be on the test? Or the kid that's absent for the previous class, did we do anything yesterday? I can't help but, this is a little aside, it has nothing really to do with the homily, but I can't help but respond in this way. It's probably bad, and I know what they mean, but I say, you know, no, we didn't do anything. We all just sat around. We were terribly, terribly sad because you weren't here, and we were just incapable of doing any work that day. But we do it in other ways too, don't we? We're looking for the magic diet that's going to require us, as Weird Al Yankovic said in one of his songs years and years ago, when he was talking about, he was doing a parody on like the National Enquirer and magazines like that, the new super diet where you could eat jelly donuts every day and lose 20 pounds. We're looking for that. We're looking for that magical moment where we can win the lottery and then our lives will be our own. We're looking for the famous exercise plan that doesn't require us really to do any exercise but to get all the benefits. It's very simple and easy to see how all of these things are ways in which we think, but we do it in the spiritual life too. How little do I need to do in order to be saved? What is the bare minimum that I need to do enough that I will wind up in heaven? And Jesus responds really by saying, that's the wrong question altogether. It's not about how little we can do. It's not about, well, so many people are going to be saved, we don't need to worry about it. It is rather to focus on our own growth. It is to recognize that what he means by the narrow gate is not that he couldn't have made it a few feet wider so that more would get in, but rather that so few are willing to give their lives over to him, to Jesus, in a way that leads to profound growth. That it's hard to do that. So many of us like to call our own shots. We like to be in control. And the spiritual life is not about that. Which leads then to the second part, which is that it's all about us. If I just do these things, then I will become unbelievably holy. Now, in a way, of course, we need to do something. But what I mean here is, who's ultimately responsible for growth? And our responsibility in the midst of this is only to cooperate with God's grace. God's grace does the work. God does the work. And part of our faith really requires us to place ourselves, to find ways in which we are in the presence of God so that we can ask God to make clear to us what it is we are supposed to do to live a holy life. But it's primarily about what God does first and what we do. We are always responding. God is the one who always initiates. And God sends forth unbelievable grace all of the time. So, what do we do to counter these two things? Well, unfortunately, I say unfortunately because I don't like it, but it's a necessary part of the spiritual life. The letter to the Hebrews mentions it. We need to be willing to allow God to correct us. We need discipline. Now, discipline is not punishment. Sometimes we get punished for things. We do X, Y, Z, and they naturally lead to consequences A, B, C. We see that, for example, in the drinking of alcohol. If we drink copious amounts of alcohol the night before, then a natural outgrowth is that we're probably not going to feel so great the next day. Okay, that's really more about punishment. It's just cause and effect. Discipline, and the word is key, is about teaching and learning. The word disciple comes from the same root. In other words, when we are disciplined, we are first and foremost really supposed to learn something about the right way to live. Discipline is about correction. It's not about the fact that I'm bigger and stronger than you are, so I can do whatever I want, but rather, I am wiser and I know what will help you to lead a more fulfilling life. And so the truth is that when we place ourselves in the presence of God, we have to do so with some openness to discover that we may need to change our lives. That we may need to change something that we do because it is not leading to deeper discipleship with Jesus. Or we need to change something because it is not helping us to be more loving to those in need, or being more able to forgive, or to be more generous to those who struggle. That's what discipline is about. It is about teaching us what it means to follow Jesus.